Hi, and welcome to Write Your Book Your Way, the interview series that goes behind the scenes of real self-published books to explode the myth that there's a right way to write your book and give you the freedom to write in a way that feels good to you and gets it finished. I'm Chris Emery, editor and owner at Chris Emery Editorial, and I'll be interviewing my past clients, all first-time non-fiction writers and entrepreneurs, to show you how it can be done. That means how it could be done, not how it should be done. Today I'm talking with Kat LeBlanc, who I worked with as editor on her book, Your Business, Your Rules. Kat LeBlanc is CEO and Chief Business Strategist at katleblanc.com. She helps budding entrepreneurs all over the world design, build, and grow businesses that are truly unique to them, so they can live life on their own terms. She hosts the Your Business, Your Rules podcast and has written for Business Insider, Huffington Post, and other prestigious publications. Here's my interview with Kat.
Okay, so let's get started. Today I'm here with Kat, and we're going to dive straight into our first question, which should outline exactly where your book fits into the bigger picture, and you'll be able to explain exactly what you do within this question. So here goes. The first thing I'd like to know is how your book relates to your business. So if you could explain a little bit about your business and the, not necessarily strategy, but where it fits in amongst all that you do.
Awesome. Yeah, of course. And thank you for having me as well.
Oh, you're welcome.
So I guess like the book is a starting point for people coming into my business. So what I do is I help people find the right business idea and get started in business and do it in a way where they're doing it their way. And just through a lot of the work that I did, I really discovered there's this hole where people, first of all, don't understand how the business landscape works. And because they don't have that knowledge, it's really difficult for them to make decisions with some context to decide what they should be doing, what business model they should be going with, what idea is going to best fit them. So I guess the book is all of that knowledge packaged into one. And the way that it fits in is it kind of helps people get to know me better. It helps people find me. We'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but I didn't initially intend to write a book, so it wasn't part of the big game plan to start off with. It just kind of merged in as it happened.
Yeah, so how long have you been running the business without the book, and what was in that space before you had the book on the shelves? What was doing the job of educating your startup people, if you like?
So I've been running my business for 5 years, and this book came out in March of this year, so it's been live for 6 months. And honestly, I would say there wasn't really anything that was filling the gap beforehand. So I do have a podcast, which I've had for 2 years. I have been blogging since the very beginning. But I do think that a book, just the format of having a book, even if the information is somewhere else beforehand, it gets you in front of a different audience, and it's also perceived differently by people. And I think it's also, it's a really good package in that, you know, you can't really get away with doing a bad book because people are not going to read it. It's really like a really well-rounded, complete thing. And I feel like, yes, I was doing other things before, but there was nothing that really filled that space, I would say, to be completely honest.
I love that about books, how they wrap up so neatly, like either a philosophy or a signature system or just your signature way of working. So that's really a nice container for that knowledge, and especially if it's the first stepping stone, it just gives everybody the sort of lay of the land of how you work.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice first product, not first in time, but first as in your client journey.
Absolutely.
So yeah, the next question, and you did suspect right, the next question is really how you came to the decision to start writing a book. So you said it wasn't part of the big game plan.
No, it was actually it's one of those stories where you wish it had run differently, because you have to then tell the story to everybody and it's a little embarrassing, but that's okay. So basically, it was never my intention, because I've always considered myself not a good writer, which perhaps some of the people who are watching might identify with if they're considering writing a book or trying to write a book. So it's never part of the game plan. It seemed incredibly difficult. I wasn't really clear for a while how this would help me. It all just seemed like very hard and something that I wasn't necessarily planning to do. I've never been one of the people that thought, you know, I really want to write a book. Like that thought never really entered my head. So what happened for me was I joined a mastermind program, and I had a huge amount of respect, and I still do, for the people that run that program. And the agreement to join this program was that I would write a book in the first year. And I saw this agreement and I thought, we'll see. I joined. And what happened was, over the course of the year, I saw so many other people write books, and I saw so much information on how it didn't have to be that difficult and how many words it took. And, you know, so my book is, I believe, just under 30,000 words, which is theoretically the equivalent of 30 blog posts. Writing a book sounds much more intimidating than writing 30 blog posts. And I kind of came to the tipping point where I thought, no, I can do this. So then I made a commitment to myself that I was going to do it. And that was essentially when the roller coaster started. So
it was all downhill from there.
So that's how it came into being. Really, it was kind of a little bit of pressure from out externally, and then me slowly coming to the belief that actually I think I can do this, and I probably can do it relatively well, to the point where I was able to get over the hump of saying, okay, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, okay. And you mentioned earlier about it being taken really seriously by people. Would you say more so than even the consistency of creating a podcast even?
I think so, yes. So I do think, and we've spoken about this before, that creating a podcast is in total more effort, more work, more showing up. But I do think that a book has a certain level of kudos that you really don't get elsewhere. Like I think that it does come up above having a podcast.
Mm. I've just actually, just before we hopped on, written a post about the depth of the work. There was a really nice quote that came up in a book that I was editing today, and it just inspired me to write this post instantly, because it was a Bruce Lee quote that said something like, something about having respect for, not having respect for people who have done 10,000 things one time, but having respect for people who have practiced one thing 10,000 times. And I feel like those people who have practiced the one thing 10,000 times have that real gravitas, that real knowledge, that profoundness that it takes to write a book. Whereas collections of shorter things like blogging, like podcasts, you just need a smaller idea and they can jump around, obviously under the umbrella of the theme that you're talking about. And your book and your podcast are by the same title, but those different ideas that you can come up with for the podcast presumably are easier, rather than putting one whole big thing together and making it have to flow and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the podcast in total, sorry, the book was actually probably easier than the total of all of the podcast episodes that I've done. But yeah, I think the perception of a book is still much stronger than a podcast. There's still a lot of kudos that comes with having a podcast, but I think a book is next level again.
Mm. Okay. So tell me about your writing process, if you have one. I always want to couch that in, you know, don't take the word process too earnestly, because anything can count as a process. Just really want to know what it was like writing.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I have a process for everything. So I spent a lot of time trying to find my process for writing a book and failing quite a while. So the way that I did it was, like, to me, it felt, this is the way I approach everything, but like, to me, it felt really important that the structure is right. I felt like that was what was going to make or break the book, because that was the flow of ideas and, you know, how it all comes together and the experience that people have. So I spent a long time on the structure. So I had, you know, like I had, first of all, a Word document, which then went into Scrivener, where I was like moving all the different sections around of things that I thought that I could talk about and things that I thought that should go in there. So there were that, I got stuck on that for quite a while because I found different formulas for, you know, you should write a book in this, if you're doing a thought leader type book, your book should be in this order. If you're doing this kind of book, your book should be in that order. And I couldn't make my stuff fit into the order. And I think at some point I had a bit of a breakthrough and I realized, okay, that's how it's going to be. And once I had that, what I did was go through all of the content that I already had and literally cut and paste all of the relevant stuff into the section. So I had this framework that I could put stuff into. And at that point, I got to about, I think it was like 15 or 17,000 words, which is nowhere near a book yet.
And no, but it's a nice place to start without yes. having to have sat down to a blank page.
Yes, so that helped. But at that point, I got very stuck and I went through mm-hmm. a process of thinking, okay, maybe I should write for an hour a day. And what I discovered was I didn't really have the brain for it in the morning. And once I'd done other stuff, I couldn't really do it. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to block whole days. Then I just avoided it. So I spent a lot of time messing around, trying to force myself to write it, which is very unlike me. I'm normally a sit down, get it done kind of person. I don't really faff around with stuff too much. So it was also really confronting and confusing. Like, why am I having such a hard time with this? And what I had to do to force myself to do this was book in the editing date with you, because it was almost like I needed an external deadline to get it done. So that kind of escalated the panic of getting the book done. And then what had to happen in the end was I recorded myself for the sections and got my VA to transcribe it and put it in there. And I just recorded whatever I could for those sections. And then when I had something on the page, that was the big issue, the blank page or the blank section. Mm. I had something on the page, then I could change it, because then it was like, okay, well, I started that part wrong, or, you know, I need to change this, or I've missed out that. So then I filled it out and I did kind of one run through and then just sat away from it a bit, another run through. And then it got to the point where our deadline was coming. And then after like days of ignoring it, I managed to find, and I know I'm sharing a lot of information, but I think it's important to see that people can really struggle with this. And I definitely did.
Yeah.
It got really close to the deadline. And then I just somehow found the energy to just like power through. And I gave it to you before it was as finished as I would like it to be, but at that point I could not look at it anymore. So
yeah.
So one thing I want to say about this, and apologies if this messes up a later question that you have, I think one thing that's really important to know about writing a book is that you feel alone in the writing process, but really the end product is like it's built by a village almost, you know. There's the person who edits it and the person, so this is my cover, who does the beautiful cover for you, and the person who does the typesetting. And so it's not just you. So you kind of, you get to put your raw, or not raw, but your as polished as you can ideas into it. But then there's a bunch of people that come after you that just make it so much better. So while I found it very intimidating to try and write, because I don't consider myself a writer, I was really, really happy with the finished product because there were so many layers of checks and refining that came after my input.
Yeah, I think so much of what you've just said there is just really, really valuable and really crucial for people to know. I think that last point is one of the most important things that I try and get across to people, because when you're sitting with a Word document or a Google Doc on your computer and you're calling that your book, you're probably comparing that digital document to a physical book that's had countless rounds of editing, proofreading, feedback, beta readers, testimonials, and these books that end up on the shelves, that isn't a direct comparison with a draft that you've got on your computer. But it's all you have to go by because you never see anybody else's first draft, right?
So exactly.
There's that's one of the main drivers for me doing this whole interview series, because I really want people to understand that it's okay to feel like that's normal, and the process can look like all sorts of different things. It was really interesting that you said there that you're normally a get on and do it kind of person, and in this instance you just didn't understand why you weren't able to get past that. But books seem to bring out this other side of like next level procrastination. I don't know what it is, and people tackle it completely differently. Like I've recently read The Four Tendencies, and I'm a rebel, so accountability would not work for me, external accountability, but for some people it's what they need, which is why I never push people to put lock their date in, because I know that's for some people that's going to be the thing that makes them do it. For other people it's going to have the exact opposite effect. So yeah, it depends. Yeah. It just depends what approach works for you, and knowing how to get your best work done. And I really hate that cookie cutter template, this is the way to do it thing, because I want people to understand that the end result can happen a number of different ways. All these books that you see on the shelf, they look equivalent to each other, but they have been through a number of checks and that kind of thing that will be similar, but the way they ended up there is not all the same.
I think it's always messy in the background, and I really had to mentally play games with myself to get it done. And normally the external accountability is a complete fail for me. In this case it worked. I think people get tripped up because a book is so public and it's so frequently reviewed. So because people think it's such a big, important thing, which it is and it isn't, you know, there's a lot riding on it. You know, who are you to have a book, to think you can write a book? And then, you know, random people that you don't know will review it. So, and very frequent, like I've never been reviewed in any other element of my work, like certainly not reviews that I don't have control over seeing first.
Sure. Yeah. When I'm doing one-to-one work, if somebody's not happy, I'll keep going until they are. And then at the end of, you know, an interaction, hopefully it's been mostly positive, and hope, you know, the best case scenario is I get a testimonial at the end of it. There's no back and forth with books.
Exactly.
I was thinking the other day though that books don't have comment sections, which is quite nice, but then there are whole sites dedicated to reviewing books, so not the soft option. So you've already touched on this, and so it's probably quite a brief answer, but how did you know when you were finished? You said you just couldn't look at it anymore. That's what most people say, to be honest. I was sick of the size of it.
That was
how
it.
How did you know when it was done?
I didn't think I was finished, but I just know that I didn't have anything else in me. So I was like, that's got to be it. Like, that's it. Like, it's gone. I have to just remove it from my life.
Yeah. I remember with you, though, you got quite a new lease of life when you had it edited. I feel like you were re-energized after that, which I'm always a little bit wary about.
No,
not everybody is energized by the editing phase. They're usually, well, it can be demoralizing if you're not edited in a good, positive way. And I try and make my edits as positive as possible. But like a lot of people don't look forward to the feedback.
Okay. I think I misunderstood the question. So I knew when I was like done, when I handed it in to you, like that was because I couldn't look anymore. When it came back, I've talked about this with you before. So like when it came back, I started reading it, so I didn't look at the edits first. I looked at the completely edited version, which is what you recommended. And when I looked at that, I was like, oh my God, who wrote this book? It's like my ideas, but it's awesome. And I was so excited. I actually cried. Like I happy cried. I was so happy. And then I think I left it for a day or something. And then I looked at the edits and I just went into Taskmaster. Okay, get it done. Because I knew I had to say yes or no to all of your edits. And there were a lot of them, which I was okay with because that's what I hired you for. Of course, like I didn't, you know, I don't think anyone enjoys seeing how much of their work has changed, but I had seen the end result and seen that that was what it should be. So it was just like, let's sit down and go through these literally hundreds of edits and just go, yes, maybe not. Yes. So like I was fine with that. And I think that it knocked me into, let's just get it done and go through everything because otherwise, we don't get the end product.
Yeah.
So
the changes always look way worse than they actually are as well. If I move one word from here to here, all sorts of things happen in track changes, like it crosses things out and it puts them back in. And it, you know, there can be like four or five different red marks just from moving a word. You know, it, you might have to change punctuation because a word has moved or whatever it is. So they can look like a lot of things, whereas actually the change is just a very small thing. So that's why I recommend that you do it that way around. I'm really glad that you had read it before you got into that just get it done mode. So that kind of support is really important for me to build in when I'm doing it. So what else did you learn from publishing a book? You've already kind of touched on a lot of things about what it taught you about how you work and how this was very different to a lot of other things that you've done. But what would you say you took from the writing and the publishing process?
I think more than anything, it taught me what I'm capable of because I hadn't imagined that I would do this. I did do it. The most people that read my book like really liked it. There were a couple of minor complaints where I would have loved to have been able to say something to them but can't. But it wasn't easy. I mean, it was relatively easy in terms of the actual work. The hard part was getting myself to do the work, but it just taught me like, okay, I can do this. So, you know, maybe there are other things that I can do, just kind of open my mind to what's out there and what can be done. And while I found it tough, like I've already started thinking about further books and been getting excited about them. So it's taught me a lot about myself. And I did learn a lot about like writing and the whole process as well, which is because of my background and because I'm a business coach is also really interesting for me as well.
Yeah. So what opportunities came your way as a result of getting it done and out there? Like we're pretty much chronologically, we're pretty much up to the end of the production period and thinking about going into launching it. And I know you got some support there from a strategist who helped you launch in the right way, which sounded amazing. That experience sounded really great. But what would you say that you got from becoming an author that you might not have otherwise had the opportunity to do or experience?
I think there's just been a general uplift in everything. So have an uplift in how people perceive me in the marketplace, in my expert status. I think I could have leveraged it a lot more. It certainly would have been a reason to pitch myself for a lot more interviews and podcast interviews and, you know, getting guest posts out there and that kind of thing. At the time, like I just wanted to launch the book, so I didn't do a big promotional strategy. I did get a launch team, but I didn't do a lot of promotion. It was externally, it was more like the people that were in my launch team. So I think there's been a general uplift. There have been opportunities. So for example, next week my book is going into it's called a side hustle pack, and it's like a big information pack that people can get lots of things related to starting a side business.
Oh, cool.
And I got approached to be part of that. That's the main thing that's coming to mind. But I think that there's, what I would say is it's just like a general uplift, and more things will come your way. And if you're putting yourself out there, which I wasn't at the time of my book launch, it can create a lot of media and kind of interviews for you if you desire to do that, which at the time I was maxed out with just doing the book.
Yeah. So, and life.
Yeah.
So now that you're on the other side of it, and it's out there and it's been released for 6 months now, looking back, what would you do differently if you had your time again, or you did it again for a second book?
I'd definitely be in my own way a lot less. I don't think I would do that much differently. I did obsess over the cover, and I had so many variations. It ended up being quite expensive, which was potentially unnecessary. Maybe I should have had a clearer idea of what I wanted it to look like.
Right.
So I guess I would do more promotion around a second book, because I'd have more kind of understanding of what the process and what's happening and what I can expect. So there'd be kind of less new things coming at me. So I guess I would promote it more. In terms of the writing process, I don't think I would do it any differently, because I liked deciding what goes where to start off with, because then I understand the scope of the project and I can kind of fill it in.
Yeah, and I think that's a sensible order to do it. Like, we tend to work from bigger picture down to finer detail as we go through the book process. So doing the structure and then filling in like what sections you can have, and then looking at the word level detail is a really good idea to do it that way around, because it's much harder to put structure in once you've like written something in a certain way.
Yeah. Yes, so I guess really the writing process would be the same. I wouldn't change, like, I definitely would not change my editor. I wouldn't change that much. I think it would just be like have less of a drama around it and probably promote it more. And maybe I would think about naming it a little bit differently, because I think that my name was being a little bit clever. It maybe is a little bit harder from an SEO perspective and understanding what the book is about.
Yeah, you give more detail in the subtitle, is that right? Let's have another look at the cover.
Yeah, so it's Your Business, Your Rules, Live, Work and Make Money Your Way.
Love it. Yeah, so that's a really good point. Lots of people go for like quite snappy titles, but then elaborate quite a lot in the subtitle. So that's one technique that you can do, but choosing the right category is pretty important too, and making sure that people just know exactly what they're buying and what they're going to get, because at the end of the day, it's a product, not just, you know. I think some people start writing a book as a bit of a fun project, or they've got this idea, and what I loved about working with you is you were so clear on the strategy of where it fits and what the purpose was and what it was doing and exactly what needed to go in there. You know, because of the way you work and what your strengths are. So yeah, that's been a really great experience learning from you too. I learn from all of my clients. So it's there's always something new and different that I can pick up about the way people work, and certainly an awesome experience getting to work with you. So thank you so much for today. That's all my questions, and just really wanted to thank you for your time and for the whole experience of being your editor.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on. And I wouldn't do it any other way. So I have to say this at the end before you stop recording. Thinking about hiring Chris, you should hire Chris, because you do want to be having happy tears when you read your edited book.
Only happy tears. I will link your book up in the case study. And it will also be on YouTube, so I'll share the link and everything that you've got to make sure everyone knows where they can get your stuff. Thank you so much, Kat.
Thanks.